This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I remember you well in the Chelsea Hotel. You were talking so brave and so sweet, giving me head on the unmade bed while the limousines wait in the street. Those were the reasons, and that was New York. We were running for the money and the flesh, and that was called love for the workers in song. Probably still is for those of them. Didn't you, babe? You just turn your back on the crowd. You got a way I never once heard you say. I need you. I don't need you. I need you.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday. September 17th, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Yesterday, midday, after about 1 o'clock, the Reinhardt Hotel collapsed. It didn't just collapse, it split. It split, and its stone edifice fell into the road. Yesterday at about 12:30, residents in the immediate area called the police. They called the police to say they heard a shatter. They heard a crack. So when they came outside, they saw that there was a huge crack in the Reinhardt Hotel. And they panicked and, of course, called police to say, "This look imminent. Something is about to happen." Police came on the scene. They called the Ministry of Works. Ministry of Works officials came on the scene to inspect the building. I'm not sure how old the building is, and I'll have Aaron read a narrative about the Reinhardt Hotel shortly, right? As the inspectors survey the place and walk around the building and determine that, yes, this looks like it needs to come down, again, there was a crack and a split. And the building came smashing down, taking down poles, taking down electrical wires, and you hear the sparks and the lightning and the flashes. Thank God nobody was hurt. But there was a host next door. The host next door behind the Reinhardt Hotel, some of the huge blocks fell into the house, crashed into the roof, destroying the roof for that particular house. Hopefully those person who owned that house gets some assistance from government. We'll see how that goes. But I noticed that few people know what is the Reinhardt Hotel, the importance of it. Today, I have Aaron Gray with me. Of course, I have my usual guest for Tuesday, Dr. Cleveland Inyas III. He also has a book, his grandfather has a book. I think that's Cleveland Inyas III.
Correct.
Yes. About Beantown, about that area, about living. And I want to tie all that in for today's conversation before I get into my proposed conversation for today. Go ahead, Aaron.
Are we going to read from the Bahamas Past and Present?
Yes, read from Bahamas Past and
Present. Did you know that C.R. Walker, whom the school is named after, and Mabel Walker, school also named after her, were husband and wife and the owners of the Reinhardt Hotel that stands at the corner of Blue Hill Road and Tin Shop Corner? Bahamian history seeps from every inch of the four-story Reinhardt Hotel that occupies the corner of Blue Hill Road and Tin Shop Corner. Initially designed and constructed by Dr. Claudius Roland Walker and Mrs. Mabel Walker in the 1930s, the hotel furnished the stage for everything from social soirees to local business operation to pivotal moments in Bahamian political history. Perhaps the paramount year in the hotel's history was 1967, when the space served as headquarters to the PLP during the landmark 1967 elections that led to majority rule. At the time of the hotel's construction, black visitors were prohibited from residing in major hotels owing to their race. The Reinhardt Hotel helped to answer this community need and went on to become a prominent social center in the neighborhood, hosting many weddings, parties, and other gatherings, as well as offering space for local businesses. Dr. Walker's own medical office occupied a section of the first floor of the Reinhardt Hotel. At that time, Dr. Walker was one of only a handful of Bahamian medical practitioners and served many Bahamians as their primary physician. Other businesses that operated on the premises included a hardware store, a restaurant, a pharmacy, and The Voice, a newspaper. The Voice served to educate Bahamians about their rights and held true to the core belief of its editor, Dr. Walker, that education offered the key to political and economic independence.
Yes, and thank you very much for that. Dr.
Cleveland Enius III?
Yes, I know I go on blank, right? Dr. Enius, right? Your grandfather spoke about Cleveland Enius. Your grandfather spoke about a number of residents in that Beantown era, mm-hmm. area, right? You have just recently republished the book, I guess?
Yeah, Beantown is now back in print, and it is here for sale. So we do have some copies at the Black Food bookstore. If there may be some, they were flying out of there. Or you can reach out directly to me, 426-1148, mm-hmm. 426-1148. But he chronicled the ethos of Beantown. He also had a book, Let the Church Roll On, that will be out very soon. I'm working on just getting that printed right now. But that area was what we could consider a pretty progressive area. They weren't waiting for people to do things for them. They found a way to do things for themselves that ultimately benefited the country. I remember when I actually learned what that building was, because I passed that building all my life, you know. It wasn't until I was an adult that I really appreciated what the building was, what it stood for. And I remember your post back in, it was 2018. And from then we were like, you know, are we going to preserve this building? Because what it stands for is something that is so important to this country. And to just let it sit there and rot, you know, I guess that's an indictment on all of us. But especially the people who have the responsibility of, you know, caring for such buildings. And so obviously the time for pointing fingers is over. The building is down. But I think out of it now we could at least pause and recognize why the building was erected, what the environment of the country or the climate of the country was at the time, and we could lift the name of Dr. Walker and Mabel Walker and the family, because it truly is a testament of the will and that what is necessary to continue to move this country in the way that we wanted to move it in.
Yeah, you know, pharmacy and legacy is important, right? And I wanted to include you in the conversation because you also are preserving your family legacy, the Enius family legacy. And the Enius is belonging to that same community where the Reinhardt Hotel belongs to. I know Erin also as a social commentator, even with her works with the Hannah Hastie Times, are also preserving.
I just about to say as a Hannah too.
Yes, yeah, all that too.
As a Hannah too.
Preserving that legacy. And I wanted to just pause for a minute. To recognize the building, recognize Dr. Walker, recognize the family.
Mrs. Walker.
I wanted to recognize Bahamian history, mm-hmm. important significance in buildings. There are a number of buildings around Nassau that is collapsing now.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
right? That we're watching collapse, being ignored, and we know that it's a detriment to our social society. And again, we're watching it collapse.
Right, and the importance of focusing on this work in a oral society where we transfer information and history and culture orally versus putting it in a book, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what happens when the people who once lived in the building pass, and now the building passes without any documentation, right? Like the building stood as a testament to the lives of the people that built it, that lived in it, that worked in it, that grew in it. And what do we have left? And, you know, what do we have preserved? I want to ask, and I get goodbye a copy of Bain Town, but I asked Nuri to open the show with Chelsea Hotel number 2, right? Leonard Cohen. Mm. That's the only song I know about, except for Hotel California, and we can't play that, not in this context, right? No. But are there songs, have any experiences or events or moments that took place in and around or, you know, generated from the Reinhard Hotel? Is any of that memorialized in song, right? Is it memorialized in poetry? Do we have a song like Chelsea Hotel? Because Chelsea Hotel, everybody in the U.S. West know, right? It's popular musicians, actors. It has a history. That song was written to memorialize the lives of the people who grew in that hotel. Do we have the same thing for any of our ancestors, for any of those monumental moments in time? And then here's the third thing, well, for me, before we transition. Is this what you call irony?
Go ahead. Right? I'll let you go ahead. I'll let you lead me down there. Go ahead. Go ahead. Why would you suggest the collapse of the Reinhard Hotel as irony?
Days after the Progressive Liberal Party announces their third year review and they're heading towards election.
Much work to do.
And the... what we read in the excerpt was that the Reinhard Hotel was a very important or integral space and was used as a strategic space leading into the success of achieving majority rule.
Right.
Is this irony? I mean, considering there was no iron in the building. I just saying.
No, man. I
believe in analysis, and it's
an interesting point you made. And again, the PLP would need to explain that. Or disexplain such, and the Bohemian populace will now analyze that and say, "Wow,
right? Like,
I wonder,
is this the signaling that you can no longer play on the memories of Bohemians to suggest that you are the same PLP of majority rule? Mm. Surely you could not be.
Mm.
You're not vested in the same things. You don't memorialize the same things. You don't hold as important." The things that they held as important.
Good.
Yeah, I finished. Good. I guess.
No, I could hear Obadiah Michael Smith writing a poem about the
irony. We need more griots. We need
the irony,
official griots to
no
write about
iron
that.
In the building, the irony. I could hear him, you know?
Look at you. Let's read this text and then we'll pivot about today's show.
All right. Morning. Wow, this is history. I didn't know that was the home of the Walkers, who our schools are named after. We really need to teach Bahamian history more. PLP... third anniversary, that's how PLPs are crumbling, LOL.
Well, it's not necessarily the home of the Walkers. The Walkers' home is on Hospital Lane, right across the road from, what that school is there? The school going. Woodcock Primary.
Mm-hmm.
The two-story building there is mm-hmm. the home of the Walkers. This was a hotel built by C.R. Walker, the father, because it's junior and a senior.
Mm-hmm.
It was built with no steel. There was no steel in that building.
Because he's a man of integrity. No stealing. Not around here.
And the idea that it could hold up for so long was...
almost 100 years, eh?
Yeah, it was
right.
A wonder.
That we live in a hurricane zone and that even from that perspective, right, of hurricane readiness, like I ready right now to teeth all the Andrus rock and Andrus pine out of my grandmother's house on East Street, right? Like we didn't even clue into the... architectural and engineering wonders of our ancestors and how they were able to build homes that survive multiple hurricanes over and over again with no steel in it.
Mm-hmm. And one of these days we'll invite the people from the AMMC to explain which buildings are protected and what does it mean to be protected in terms of investment and refurbishing and everything.
And then maybe we could invite the hosts of one of the Guardian's newest shows, Nailed It, Debbie Deal and Mr. Sands, I think, from the Construction Association, to come on and also expand that conversation, right?
And also the duty of care that what government has in regards to dilapidated buildings that pose a risk to the public.
And the Oral and Public History Institute at the university, because we need them to tell us, like, how you want the information. I found, just as you were sharing the excerpt with me, another video someone produced today capturing the collapse and the recovery work, adding history and sound bites, right? Everybody on that road had a story.
Wow.
And because, you know, because they know somebody who have a story.
Yeah.
And so how do we capture those stories, right? Those stories are as important as the information documented in the excerpt because we are oral society. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we're losing history because we've adopted systems that don't align with us, right? That don't apply to how we live. And we need a different way to collect the history.
Yes. So this is April. April, this is a disclaimer play that you normally play with. Say, this program
don't have nothing to do with The Guardian. You know, whatever content. Aaron and CA
say. Okay, I'll just tell you the name of the show, and then you realize today's show is Sex Out of Season. Now you know which disclaimer I mean, right? Yeah, you go and do that search. You do that search, and then whenever you feel the need to play, you just play it automatically before we start, right? Before I get myself. That's the topic today, Aaron.
Sex out of season.
I just learned recently, this is a continuation of last week's show, that this is a thing of having sex out of season.
See?
And we're trying to conclude that.
I told those people, you have to learn how to have sex. You got to get a license because you can't have sex out of season. They ain't believe me.
So I'm going to set up the preamble and let Anku surround. But we have a caller here, and I'm more likely that caller wants to speak about the topic we'll be transitioning from. So patch that caller through. I remember the pretty disclaimer thing whenever you have a chance. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning.
Mr. Neary, I want to talk with no topic pass. You mentioned my middle name.
Go ahead.
So I decided...
My name is Sex or Season. Which one?
the sex thing with the season.
then this show is about you. I mean, not necessarily about you. But there's a thing. I've got several articles, right? Let me see if I can pull it up whilst I'm here, because it caught me off guard. I thought it was going to take him. The Mystery of Sex, right, is a entire text about the transmutation of energy from one partner to the next. I didn't know that was a thing, right?
Yes, I heard Anku spoke of that. I think it was with God. On Rose Burrow's show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the new show, Remark.
Yes. Mm. So I that was a new thing for me too, and it made me see things in a different light, and then it made me realize why our young people act the way they act. They've picked up so many spirits from so many different people. They seem to, it's like these spirits is outdoing their own personal spirits. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear more on that.
And
so
do you believe in spirits and in terms of transmutation?
I actually do. I was raised, my grandmother, however, was born in 1909. So, you know, back then, there's a lot of these things taught to them, and it was also taught to me. Mm. And I was taught, she told me that I have a very, that God blessed me with a very serious spirit of discernment. So the things that other people do, I don't do. And I see things as a challenge to see ghosts and all. So, yeah.
Okay. I want you to call back, but we continue the show. Let me do, April, do my disclaimer thing first. Though.
You played before I speak.
This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Good stuff.
There you go.
So, Anku, what you're saying is that when my husband looked at me and said, baby, ready? And she said, oh, I have a headache. And he said, I got something for your headache. He's being serious. That's science. He could give me some energy to shift that headache.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dear gentlemen. I did cast aspersions upon you. I didn't know it was science.
Yeah, it was science. All along, right? Well, let's be clear. The information that's being discussed here is information that has been held sacred by a priesthood known as the Min priesthood. And this Min priesthood is a priesthood, an African priesthood, that was responsible for teaching the community about the reality of the sacredness of what we call sex today. So in English, we would say natural sexual union. We would talk about not just the act of intercourse, because when we look at today's society, which is basically driven off of lust, right? And lust has now been equated with sex, or sex is kind of an act of lust, right? When in truth, we're not really being told about the power of the sacred act, and how if we learn to properly utilize this act of natural sexual union, this sacred energy exchange, S-E-X, sacred energy, that we could actually turn, the first caller talked about the younger people, but in general, we have so many different, when we say spirits, we're talking about personalities, right? We're talking about the fact that when people share fluids, they are picking up actual aspects of each other. And if we're casually doing that, then we're picking up any number of fluids, any number of microorganisms that ultimately affect our behavior. And this society that we live in promotes it, whereby it is called a harlot. This beast is referred to, or is ruled by, a harlot, whereby this pornography is not only in the sex act, but you could go in the food store and you can see fornication and pornography. When you see a watermelon without seeds, when you see a grape without seeds, when you see genetically modified organisms, they don't even call it food. But the fact that they're interfering with that plant's ability to reproduce itself, the same way they are orchestrating that crime against nature in the agricultural sector, they are also finding ways, and have found ways, to interfere with the family, whereby now our family has been obstructed or distracted from its ability to pass on favorable traits to the next generation in a holistic manner.
Aaron, you see what Dr. Ines did there? He moved from the physical act realm of sex to genetics in terms of seeds and animals. Mm-hmm. I never looked at the modification of plants in terms of watermelon without seeds as a sexual act.
But that's what it is. They have reproductive...
That's fornication.
They have reproductive organs. Yeah.
So when you talk about sex out of season, forced ripening of a gnep, forced ripening of mangoes, the manipulation of that, is that a spiritual act?
Let me explain why. If nature is telling you when a particular fruit is in season, that now is the time for you to eat this fruit. Why would nature be doing that? Mother Nature, you refer to it as, right? When you're eating a fruit in season, it is providing you with the proper nutrition that, once properly digested, allows for your body to produce proper hormones that ultimately regulate your behavior. So if your hormones are not regulated, because the foods you're eating are not the foods that you should be eating at a particular time of the year based on where you were born. So we also have to look at the fact that we're bringing in fruits that are not even indigenous to our environment.
and scorning the varieties, like the family members who are in our environment.
Right. Even the type of honeys that we eat, the bees that produce the native Bahamian honey, they're pollinating the plant and the ecosystem of this environment, whereby our native honey is something that is going to help to regulate our hormones, regulate our behavior in a different way than honey from another region would.
Mm-hmm. So, Yuri, we don't grow corn here, like, I can use the word loosely, naturally, right? Mm-hmm. We can grow it here, but we don't have, like, optimal corn production in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So corn oil is not going to be a regular part of our diet. It shouldn't be.
Right.
What do we have? We got coconut everywhere. Yep. I would say at least a million. I mean, well over a million. Well over a million trees all over the place. Mm. We should be eating coconut oil, cooking with coconut oil, applying coconut oil to our skin and our hair and our bodies all year round. There's another fact that we have, right? So, like, it's cold in the winter here. Now, how do you, a Caribbean person, prepare for winter? Well, you're eating coconut oil year round, but then you got avocado. Mm-hmm. And so in the summer and the winter, you're getting these boosts of avocado. That's the fat that you're supposed to consume, right? Avocado gives you cholesterol, but it gives you good cholesterol. Right. That's why when you're looking at your cholesterol numbers, you have to say to your doctor, now let's break it down. How much of this is the good cholesterol, how much is the bad cholesterol, right? Because the avocado is giving you the fats you need to prepare you for winter at the right time. Coconut oil is giving you the fats you need throughout the year. You get that anytime.
Aaron, just give us an example of things coming into season, because it's we're in pear season. She mentioned coconut. Before, it was in sea grape season. Before, there was a mango season, and et cetera. What is the drawback of forcing sex out of season? In a human way, and of course, inside this is in the animal kingdom, also inside this genetic seeds and fruit and vegetables. Is there any drawback of having sex out of season?
Yes. What happens is if we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we start at verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So this reality of what God, this Elohim, this group, the Natural Elohim, they were males and females who were responsible for creating this group of males and females here in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, right? They weren't just creating them to create them. They gave them a specific image and they gave them a specific likeness. That likeness spoke to the actual behaviors, the actual nuances, the actual genetic realities of who these individuals or these tribes were. Once they would have learned this science of what we call ta nutre, or natural sexual union, they would have been able, and they did for a very long time, to reproduce that image and that likeness. So the first commandment, be fruitful and multiply, was to scatter this image and likeness across the planet, whereby the realities of what the Elohim, or who they call God, wanted for us as nations, tribes, clans, families, etc. These realities would have spread across the earth, whereby you have peace on earth. You have a behavioral system, a community, a structure, dare we say a religion, that would have allowed for there to be peace on earth. However, as we talked about last Tuesday, there was another seed, the seed of the serpent, all right, mentioned in Genesis 3 and 15. That particular seed is not interested in that image and likeness, because Revelation chapter 13 talks about a beast, and it talks about the fact that this beast, 7 heads and 10 horns, and it has a system of its own, it has an image of its own, the image of the beast. So if I am having sex out of season, I am now creating offspring that, first of all, become forgetful. We talked about the Enoshites. Forgetful of what? Forgetful of the fact that you were born or given an image and a likeness. Now, this particular reality that we're talking about has happened more than once. It happened amongst the Africans. It happened amongst the Chinese. It happened amongst the Indians. This idea of image and likeness, right? So each group of people were responsible for maintaining a particular image and likeness on the planet, whereby they could maintain a diverse ecosystem and keep the planet in fit form. When we choose to step out of the boundaries or the parameters that have been set forth by our creators, we start to create offspring that are outside of that image and likeness. In many instances, the image is maintained, but the likeness, the behavior changes. And when that behavior changes, now we have a situation where if we go to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 13, it gives the different ways that we could actually conceive, all right? In John chapter 1, verse 13, it says, and I'll go back to 12 actually, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, they say, not of blood, not of rape, not of the will of the flesh, the lust, nor of the will of man. This idea of we're going to take seeds and we're going to laboratory babies, but of God. So there are different ways that people are being reproduced on the planet. This idea of reproducing by the will of God is sex in season. It's right here in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 13.
When we get back from the break, I can tell you all how difficult it is to produce a pear tree from an early pear seed. It just is hard. It's hard, bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, you on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry joining us today on Tuesdays as always. Anku Sara, a.k.a. Dr. Cleveland Enius III Calhoun of the Coptic Church, Bahamas branch. Family, community, I like that better. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Indies, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you tired of the same old 5K runs? Want something more? Then get ready for the Chickchawney Challenge City Run on September 28th, starting at Crypto Wild. Test your strength, stamina, and spirit. It takes all of you to dodge, climb, conquer obstacles as you race through the heart of the city. Lace up and get to the Chickchawney Challenge City Run. Register now on our website, chickchawneychurn.com, or on our social media pages. Brought to you by Kalina, Island Yogurt, Advantage Insurance, Art of Graphics, Crypto Wild, and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on. All you hear is for the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Get up.
Baby, I feel it. Earlier, Uncle Saraz said sex is sacred.
And I'm saying, no, man, sex can't be sacred. Sex is something that you exchange. Something you that you give your friend, don't say friend, that you make a mature decision to say, man, you know what? I need to feel warm.
You ain't hear what the man say? He say at night, he say the sun going down. You don't talk to your friends at night. They go in their house and you go in your house. So that can't be the answer, Mr. Nuri.
No, it can't be sacred. The sacred is more religious. How can the sex act be a religious act?
If you do
it's a human act.
It was the very first thing that God told that male and female to do. He didn't say go to church. He said be fruitful and multiply. That's the first thing he tell them to do.
You sound like those pastors who say you need to have religious music in the background as you be intimate with your wife.
True religious music, yeah. We use the cistern, the oud. There were different instruments I still do use.
You use instruments?
Yeah, you could play it.
No, musical instruments.
Musical instruments. Music, yes, thank you.
The frequency and sound, right, yes, have power. Right? Like in the beginning, there was the word. Word is sound. Sound is
frequency. I'm not sure if I can think about God during certain things.
So the reality is. The reality is.
I don't do those things, so I can't.
Yeah. For example, when we talk about these love songs, not oftentimes it's about retiring to bed and then carrying out these different sex acts, right? In truth, when we are utilizing natural sexual union in its proper context, you don't go to sleep after you have
lit.
No.
What do you mean? What you do?
So what should happen is the man and the woman should state what they're going to use this energy for. So remember I said whether it's starting a business or just cleaning the yard or cleaning the house or, you know, doing something with the children, whatever it is, we're gonna use this energy. Both of them would state what they're gonna use that energy for. And then there are different positions, and then there are different things that we don't have time to get into on this show, right? That you would utilize to create the type of energy that you need in order to accomplish a specific task. So if you are finished the act and you just go to sleep, what happens is you're not properly using that energy. They teach us to do that for a reason, because they don't want us to actually understand how powerful that energy that we've created actually is and how we can actually utilize it to liberate ourselves ultimately, right? Oftentimes what happens is because of pornography, our mind normally jumps, if not, a lot of people watch pornography. At one time, I watched pornography too. I was a part of the generation where you magazines were laying around, and
then the cassettes came about.
Right. But then I learned that listen, if this is what you are seeing as sex or natural sexual union, you're gonna become a minuteman. You're gonna become somebody who cannot last through this act because
we need a whole show on the dangers of early sexual initiation through pornography and pornographic images.
Yeah, yeah. See, there's a relationship between the mind, the breath, and semen retention as a male.
I think any routine to semen too?
Yeah, you have to know. So every time you have, you don't ejaculate.
What?
They teach us that too. You're supposed to make sure you get yours, right? No. That's not that, because you're gonna build up energy and then you're just gonna waste it. You're just gonna throw it out there. Whereas you can learn how to harvest this energy and utilize it to do things, great things that allowed for our societies to be great. Sometimes we don't understand how they did what they did.
But you say I need to build it up and then stop and then do something productive?
Yes.
Dang.
Right. So as a woman having that experience as a teenage girl, a young woman, when a man would say, oh, you can't stop now. Like something happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't stop now. I'm going to die. I'm going to be in pain. Yeah. I'm going to be injured.
Of course.
No.
No.
What Mr. Dr. Aeneas has just explained is that energy, you're supposed to know how to harness that. So as opposed to being afraid it's going to hurt and kill you, because it ain't going to kill you.
No.
You're supposed to be able to harness that, right? I think I had a family, a boyfriend from the Family Islands, and at one point I was like, boss man, you don't need me to drop you home? And he's like, I used to run 3 settlements to go see my girlfriend. And then run home the same night, right? Like, no, I good. I could make it home. Don't watch nothing. That's the energy right there. Yeah,
let's get this quick call right here. What kind of energies you're talking about? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Nuri. Good morning again. Good morning to Ms. Green again. And good morning to Brother Anku.
Good morning, bro.
Yeah, man. I feel Brother Anku saying, man. I mean, you know, living in the society and getting older and how we used to look at things. Now we look at things now. You see how wrong we are. You know, and see, I mean, you know, ain't nothing wrong with it being sacred, man. I mean, if something creates life and it's responsible for me and you being here, we should consider it to be something special. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of way. And if an ark produces life, then I feel as if it should be looked at from a more spiritual sense as opposed to just this physical gratifying thing that we're in. You know, when I was growing up, you know, we used to talk about, the religion teachers used to talk about fornication and vanity and materialism, but those type things have gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way. And it's like, even though it wasn't like, but I mean, if we had that today, at least there would be something around that would be some type of something that would cause people to think twice. You know, but nowadays, everything is just straight up, you know what I mean? Do as you please. Please yourself. It's all about pleasure.
Right.
You know, we live in a society where, like I was saying the other day, I don't think it's cool for our culture to be a culture where even professional women who work in making their good dollars feels as if is a good pastime on the weekends, you know, to dress up in the skimpiest, most revealing clothes and to go out drinking.
Mm.
You know, that kind of way. When they go out, they go out looking for something. You know, each and every weekend, they go looking for something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way. And I mean, that has become the culture, you know what I mean, among our women. And I mean, and as I look at it, and I see society, I mean, it's just going, I mean, like, I see the women wearing less and less and less. And I mean, for a man, it's kind of like, it's tricky because then you know, Like that ain't good for society. Like how Anku was talking about, we need this thing, a cohesiveness that, you know, that kind of like get us close to idealism, right? So I mean, so as a man, though, when you see it, you know, you can't help but use a man. So you look at it and you be like, boy, that look good. But at the same time, you got to say, you know what, that's not good. You know, that's not where I'm coming from. You have to realize within yourself that that's a sign of degradation within your society.
Okay.
You know, that kind of way. And so I feel as if that what we need to do is we really need to try and see if we could do something. I mean, even the church or someone to try and like, but I mean, to be honest with you, I believe we gone, man.
Okay. Thanks for much, Gordon.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Yeah, my brother.
And in your church, Anku, you speak about sex.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with my pastor talking to me about sex because I want to ask you two things. Is the marriage bed undefiled for true? Or are there certain things I should not do?
You should keep it undefiled. Yeah, in terms of...
Can I defile the marriage bed?
You can.
And how can I do that?
Why are you asking?
I mean, I want to understand.
Frame it.
Either it's undefiled or it can be defiled.
Frame it differently. How do I not defile the bed? Okay. Don't ask me how to...
Well, I need pointers.
Don't tell him how to defile it. Tell him how not
just
to defile it.
Just in case. I need help. Go ahead.
There are rules. There are universal laws that we are unfortunately unaware of, and that's dangerous.
It's universal sex laws?
Correct. There are universal laws associated...
More than don't take advantage of people that are...
Sleeping,
mentally weaker than you. Don't take advantage of people who you have power over and don't sleep with little children and old people. Those outside of those three universal rules, there are more.
Yeah.
What do you mean old people?
People who you could be taking advantage of.
Yeah, that's more the part of that discussion. Yeah, don't take advantage of people, right?
Okay.
So what we understand is that what happens in that marriage bed, right? It determines the future of a generation because it determines the type of children or the type of activities or the type of ultimate things that are going to be created inside the family, inside the community, and inside the nation, right? If we, again, are consulting with those who have a mastery of these rules, this is what the Min priesthood did. This is why in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 11, when they start talking before they even create human beings or male and female, right, they're talking about every herb bearing or every tree bearing of its seed. They made that very clear. Everything that it had to have its own seed. That includes us. You understand? So we every month, and we're doing it again next year, we have what's called Love Lies Liberation, which is in a normally about a 5 discussion. Every weekend we go from Trinidad to Jamaica, Bahamas, London, Liberia, etc. And we have discussions about some of the things that seem to be taboo in many churches, whereby we know that people are having issues. However, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to actually have an adult conversation and actually address why things may not be working the way that they're supposed to be working. You can't ultimately address those things without talking about sex. You're going to dance around the reality of what actually is taking place and not get to the crux of the matter. We are, as a people, suffering from an information holocaust. All right. So next month for us is African Holocaust Month, and you can register for free. It's a free event for every weekend in October. We're going to be talking about this African Holocaust. So of information and the fact that certain information has been removed from our environment, and that includes this information about how to have sex and what actual natural sexual union is.
For instance, right? Look at the modern world. In the modern world, there's this thing called pheromones. And I say in the modern world, right? It always existed, but we talk about pheromones now, and that's like a hormone almost. It's your body emits a pheromone, right?
Right.
The person who is attracted to that scent, for whom that scent is positive and attractive, that's the person for you. Mm-hmm. That's how we find each other, right? You emit a pheromone and it's, oh, that. I actually had an experience where I buck a boy in a place and I know him. I gave him a hug and I smelled him and he smelled like a baby. I ran in the opposite direction. I'm not ashamed to say that.
I don't like that pheromone.
Right? But listen, so now though, in the modern world, with the amount of accessories that women wear, we have the scented and fragranced soaps, body wash, shampoo, hair tonic and conditioner, the makeup, all of these things, the deodorant, and then we get to the things that we eat. All of these things can disrupt not just your pheromone sort of production, but your pheromone receptors.
Right. They call them endocrine disruptors.
Right.
This texter wants you to explain what does it mean by marriage bed is undefiled.
Well, that is a term in the religious arena, whereby, depending on which church you're going to, they may have a different interpretation of it, right? In the Holy Coptic Church, we understand, for example, that we're not going to bring sex toys into our sexual relationship. I'm not telling people what to do. I'm telling you what we do, right? Because, and there are different reasons why. I mean, if you have the real thing right next to you and you still have to reach for something else, you know, that's an issue for us, right?
It's an indicator that you may have a medical issue.
Yeah.
You may have an emotional
and it
issue.
Could create a medical issue because your nervous system is going to recalibrate itself to ultimately want plastic over flesh.
Right, and it creates a standard that your partner just cannot meet.
Right, in many instances.
Yeah.
So that's one example, Dexter.
Anyway, it's about to go. But before we go, I just want to remind people that HitSpot Production... It's called HitSpot Production or HitSpot...
No, when they did the tapes, HitSpot Production.
They have on that $79.99 special again, but which includes that, right? For the band extender. So if you have an issue hearing me right now in your car, just go to HitSpot Production. Production again. The Hit Spot, which is located where again?
Soldier Road,
just,
right? Just south of the Village Wolf... Soldier Road, Bernard Road intersection.
And if you mention this, the show, and say, hey, I heard it on Guardian Radio AM, you get the $79.99 discount. It's during for the entire month of September.
Excellent.
So you can take advantage of that, right? Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week, Pastor Ines.
Yes.
And
yes.
We have another topic.
Yeah, man.
No, man,
and
we can talk about the same thing.
We can talk about love.
But we can extend this.
I love
this
language.
Yeah. No.
What does love language mean?
Gnef.
That's not my love language.
Gnef is my love language.
Well, I like affirmation. You say, boy, Cecil, you're handsome. I go, really?
Say, boy, Aaron, you look
we
nice.
We can dive into that Marge bear a little bit more.
Anyway, the news coming on. I see they indicating. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Namaste. Namaste.
You see me here and I'm sweating because the tempo's so hot. You see, when I come to soca, I come with all I got. Now I'll be shaking it. No more faking it. I want nobody getting in my way. So